Good to see you guys. Everybody doing good? Yeah? Yeah. Good. Man, years fly by. Like a year goes quick. This is usually my annual visit. So I've been coming here for a long time on July 4th. So it's a good week for me too, because you guys are different. I'm being polite. You guys are different. No, what I mean by that is you do stuff all weekend on 4th of July weekend. A lot of places don't do that. So this isn't a weekend a pastor would say, hey, would you come? But you guys always seem to say that. So it's just good to be here. So, yeah, it's not a weekend you would normally schedule to do like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4th of July. And, I just think it's amazing. So there is some things on my heart and even in that introduction, that was quite an introduction. But that word reproduced was in there, and there was some thoughts coming on my heart during worship, and if it's okay, I just want to talk about some things today and just be real simple and real straight with y'all, because it's really important that we get the truth in our heart and then we begin to be stewards of that truth. It's one thing to be ministered to by the Lord or touched by the Spirit of God. It's another thing to live in truth and walk in truth. I've actually seen people get touched by the Spirit of God and get empowered to do something and then not steward truth. And 2 years after they were touched, you would never know they were touched. Now, I know, I might get in trouble for this, but I know we feel like this is right. Say, we say, one touch and you'll be changed. Just one touch from the Lord. But we don't really find that scripturally. It's the truth that makes you free. The touch from the Lord will springboard you. The touch from the Lord will get your attention. I know God can breathe something into your life, but you still got to steward it. You still got to walk it out. You still got to guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So let's not mystify this and super spiritualize this to where it's just God just moving through the atmosphere and boink, 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 and touching people and they're ready to roll. No, I'm just being real. I was hearing some stuff. I was sitting and I read a few scriptures in Genesis right in the beginning, how God made things and kicked it off, you know, and there's seed time and there's harvest time there. You'll see each producing after its own kind. There's a reproductivity. I guess that's a fair word. There's a reproductivity that's on the earth that's set up by God. Everything after its own kind. And it's very important because life is a gift. I don't know if we understand this. Life is a gift. I think we think life is a grind sometimes, or life is a whatever we say. I've heard some things that you don't say in church. Life is a bleep and a blank. The only reason people feel that way about life is because they're living it way outside of why they're here. There's a reason man's on the earth. Guys, there's a reason man's on the earth. God made man with a purpose. Yeah. And if we don't understand and yield and submit and humble ourselves to that purpose and get the wisdom behind that purpose, all of a sudden you're just thinking wrong. Next thing you know, you're just flipping out, or you're mad, or you're judging something wrong, or you're just frustrated, or you're just weary, and you're getting all kind of attitudes that allow you to be all kind of places you're never created to be. But it's all wrong thinking. It's all centered on wrong thinking. It's not hinged on truth. So we got to find out truth. We got to see who we're created to be in Christ Jesus. Let me just be real with you. We got to get a million miles away from just trying to survive and make it feel good. Have it our way. Just make life happen for me to where it's cool and works. It's working. Yeah. None of that. Can I be real? None of that has nothing to do with why we're here. But it's what we all get tricked into doing before we really know Jesus. And some people, after they get to meet Jesus, still keep that thing alive. And then they're doing Jesus for a little, and then they're doing this. And then they're running back to Jesus and feeling bad for doing this. And then it don't seem the same. And then they're back doing this. And you're hurting yourself. Because you're living your life totally outside of why you're here. You got to be strong in your heart sometime and guard your heart and say, you know what? There's some things that aren't optional anymore. As I learn, as I grow, It's not works. It's not legalism. There's a thing called diligence and discipline. How do you guard your heart unless you just keep that thing in the truth? Be your own best accountability partner. Start to actually see yourself with value through the blood of Jesus and realize, man, God sees something about me that's worth paying for. Like Jesus went out of his way, it seems. Like Jesus did something amazing to redeem our life. Like, don't get religious on me and think this is some kind of Easter Christmas story. Like God became a man, did something amazing to restore mankind. It's not so we can survive and just make it happen. It's so we can become what he intended and created us to be. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Truth. It's truth that makes you free. It's truth. I appreciate the touches of God. I appreciate every time the Lord's come into my life when I was minister or worshiping and he came and ministered to me when I was in my bedroom. In the very beginning, God would come and minister to me and reveal himself to me and touch me in just neat and intimate and wonderful ways and put things in my heart. But I realized I still have to walk out that experience.
Yeah.
I still have to walk. I can't let my heart get hard. I can't get hurt. I can't get caught up in unforgiveness. I can't get tricked and just make it about me and how I feel. Well, you don't know how I feel. Come on. I'm not being insensitive. I'm not being mean. There's so many little foxes in the orchard or the vineyard trying to steal the fruit. There's so many little foxes. Here's what God said. He said, to be fruitful and to multiply. That's in the beginning. And then in John 15, he said, in this the Father is well pleased that you bear much fruit. What fruit's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the nature and image of God. He's talking about the manifestation of the kingdom in your life. Fruit. Let me give you this example. Righteousness. Two uses of righteousness in the New Testament. Righteous, to be righteous, righteousness means to stand right in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus without any sense of guilt or shame. That's pretty incredible. Yeah? You have the right to stand before God through the blood of Jesus without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or shame. The fruit of righteousness, so God makes you right before him so you can stand before him. Why? So you can partake of him, so he can impart into you, so he can live inside of you, so he can live through you. So if you've been made righteous, your trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord.
Yes.
Why? That he might be. See, he didn't even have nothing to do with feeling good. But righteousness feels good. If you believe it. So it's to the believer. Righteousness is to everybody, but the believer is who's going to wear it and benefit from righteousness. If God says, look, I'm going to see you apart from everything you've ever done, and I'm going to see you as if you've never sinned. You got to believe that. You got to receive that. When you don't put that on, your identity doesn't shift and get empowered. Then you take it as a theory. You take, oh, well, God forgives me, but you're missing the point. You're missing the point that God sees you as if you've never done those things because he never created you to live there or be there. He wants to separate you from that place, not just forgive you as you go there. Like he wants to separate you from them. He wants to call you out of darkness into the light. He wants you to become fruitful.
Yes, Lord.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Fruitful. In this the Father's well pleased that you bear much fruit and your fruit remain. And if you're fruitful, he's going to clip and trim and prune and make you even what? More fruitful. I like that. Better. She said, better. Go make me better. Good answer. That was a great answer. He's going to trim me and make me better. That's just straight up today translation right there. I like it. But look how many things try getting away and we miss it. And all of a sudden it's just about being forgiven. And now it's about being transformed. It's about a whole new heart coming into me. It's about a whole new motive and way of thinking. It's about me looking and seeing where I lived and where I was living from and being transformed to live different and live from a different place.
Yes.
That's what out of darkness into light means. It's watch this. If you can be forgiven, Or you might not repent and not be forgiven, but if you don't get transformed and renewed in your mind, your life's not going to look any different. You believe you're forgiven, but your life doesn't change just because you believe you're forgiven. You start seeing what you're called to, what you're created for. That you're created to be a house that he lives in, a vessel that he flows through. Where actually your attitude and your perspective and your motives are fruitful, like they point to the King. Yeah? Just really, really important. So it was just some things on my mind, like be fruitful, multiply. You see in the garden that each after its own kind. New Testament says you know them by their man. So that doesn't mean they're not redeemable. That doesn't mean we're judging anybody. But you can see what a man really believes. I'm going to get strong with you, all right? You can see what somebody really believes. I'm not talking about evil or not evil. I'm talking about belief. You can see what someone really believes by how they live their life. This belief thing is bigger than I think we think. When I believe he loves me, that's designed to change me. Yeah? When I believe he forgave me, that's designed to change me. Not just so I live forgiven, so I live changed. All of a sudden, I step out of the thing that he forgave me of because I start realizing, wow, he never created me to live there. And he paid a price to get me out of there. Not just to forgive me, to get me out of there. Come out of the darkness into the light. You're a new creation. Old things. See, and I know there's evil, and I know some people just get things really sometimes in their heart, harbored in their heart, but I think sometimes there's so much lack of understanding. And I think we get confused and frustrated, and because we have a degenerate tendency without getting that thing renewed, it just flares up because we get frustrated or weary or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's evil as much as lack of understanding. We're destroyed for the lack of... So if we can get the knowledge, we can stop a lot of destruction. Yeah. And I understand some people just set their heart on stuff. People just get bent to go do something. You know, I get that. But I don't know. All the year I've been pastoring and a leader in areas and talking and counseling, I think a lot of times it's a lack of understanding. We don't realize what we're created for sometimes. I think we're just hoping he forgives us. Instead of believing we're created for his image. And actually believing the Spirit of God wants to live inside of me. Have fellowship with me. Yeah? He wants to actually live through me. I think sometimes we get tricked into just thinking God's here to take care of me. Or we're hoping he intervenes in my life. Instead of him becoming my life. Living inside of me. Looking through me and loving through me. Sometimes I think we turn him into, I know we call him our Savior, but I think we leave him there. I think we leave him there like he's just to meet our needs, to help me get by, to protect me from trouble, to provide because I need, to protect because I'm worried. I think sometimes we have this impersonal relationship that can even let us down with a lack of understanding where all of a sudden he didn't provide. All of a sudden he didn't protect. Or where were you? Or why didn't you? Or why'd you let them do that to me? Well, I wish we'd hear him so clear when we talk like that. We'd probably hear him say, why are you letting that move you so much? Why are you letting that matter more than what really matters? When you're touched wrong in life, is it about responding like you've been touched wrong? Or is it about called about walking in the light of season, the light, living by the Spirit and walking in love? Yeah. See, amen. You get what I'm saying? You can tell what people really believe by how they live. And this is what I heard in my heart to kind of talk about. I just want to scratch this thing a little bit and talk about it and see where we go. We all know there's an enemy on the earth. I don't purpose to ever put him on a platform, but you're not to be unaware of his devices, and we're not to give him any place.
Amen.
We're not to let the sun go down on wrath. We're supposed to keep a heart clean. You'd be amazed what happens when you go to bed with wrath in your heart. You wake up, your heart's different. Something happens overnight. The eyes you're looking through are muddier than when you went to bed. Something layers, dies, something happens. You just keep going to bed with unresolved conflict. Next thing you know, you don't see what you used to see. And things that you used to see ain't there no more. And things that you never saw are there. And things get perverted.
So good.
When you let the sun go down on your wrath, it shapes you through the night. The way you go to sleep will empower the way you wake up. You all right? There's a reason. It's because of this seed time, harvest time. It's because of this each after its own kind thing. Here's what you got to understand. The Lord showed me to explain it this way a couple weeks ago, so I've been doing my best to do it every time they give me a mic since. You got to understand, we're all clay. Who's the potter? And we're the... How'd he make man? So we're all what? Come on, we're clay. That's not an insult. We're clay that God wants to live in. That's a good vessel. That's a painted, shiny, glorified for his name's sake vessel. That's a keeper vase, right? That's something you keep on the shelf and let everybody see it. You don't tuck it away. You don't hoard it. You don't hoard it in a box and put it in storage, right? So you're clay. We're all clay. There's nobody in this room. Listen carefully. There's nobody in this room in control of your life. I don't care what anybody says. They're wrong. I know that sounds domineering, but hear me out. You say, well, it's my life, and I don't hear it. No, there's something creating that attitude. There's something behind the animosity. There's some way you responded to something that's creating something, because everything has children. Everything's given birth to after its own kind. And you just start living frustrated. All of a sudden, it looks like something in your life. You start just living disappointed. It'll birth desires. Survival mechanisms kick off. You'll have desires in your life that you would never have if you weren't discouraged. Because everybody's clay. Nobody's in charge. Something is shaping you. Something is deciding what you look like, and something's deciding who you are. There's nobody in control. You don't have the power to be in control of your own life because you're clay. God made it that way. He even lets the spirit and the flesh war against each other so you don't do what you... So you're totally reliant and dependent on him as the source of life, on truth. Come on. God made man in his image, and then he spoke. The only voice they knew was his. Another voice showed up in the garden and spoke contrary to truth. Come on, another voice showed up in your Bible in the garden of God's paradise and delight. In the garden, not outside the garden, in the garden. The voice came in the garden. And it spoke contrary to the truth. And woman got deceived, she listened, and she ate the tree that she was told never to eat. But when you look at his charge to Adam, he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife instead of me. People say, well, no, God says, the Bible says Adam was in the garden with her. It makes no reference that he was aware of the voice Eve heard of the serpent. It doesn't say he was standing by her side. But it does say he heeded her voice. What's that? No, he didn't. No, but watch this. But he heeded her voice. So what's that tell you? This is fascinating. Watch this. That means whatever she heard the serpent say, she followed it. It became her truth. So she's his first disciple in what he was saying. Now she's saying it to somebody else. So she believes this other voice, gets influenced by it. Now she begins to perpetrate it. Now she begins to multiply it. Adam heeds her voice instead of... Come on, this is black and white. This is... truth, lie. Like this, cut and dry. She yielded to what the serpent said. Adam heeded her voice, became a product of heeding the voice. And since that day, every man ever born was born into what happened through what he believed. You talk about multiplying and reproducing after your own kind. Please, let's not miss this thing. Let's not just say, oh, I need help in my life. Oh, I've been screwing up. Oh, I don't want to keep going back to using. Listen, that is not the number one goal. It's finding out who you really are and why, and you won't go back to using. Using secondary. Yeah. Finding out who you are is primary, because that's what decides how you conduct your life. Listen, one serpent talked and he spoke totally outside of what they were told. Contrary, she was deceived and bought into it and became the spokesman. And Adam believed her instead of him. Now, how many times do we do that in our lives? How many times do we know to do right and we don't? And it says to him, it is sin. How many times do we know, man, this ain't profitable to be feeling this way. I shouldn't be thinking this way. I shouldn't be acting this way. I shouldn't be retaliating this way. I shouldn't be holding this grudge. And then we say, yeah, but, and then we justify it because it was really out of order and they should have knew better and they were in leadership and they were, and all of a sudden you got reasons for violating your conscience and disobeying what your heart knows. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Okay, so live apart from Christ. So let your circumstances dominate. Let the facts of those circumstances dominate. Not being mean. And then hang around him and live apart from him. I wasn't being mean. I'm just being real. This is how serious this thing is. Because everything's trying to reproduce after its own kind. Everything's trying to multiply itself. Everything has children. There was a time I was praying to God to go to the mission field. The Lord said, the only reason you have the desire to go to the mission field is because you're frustrated with the people you're pastoring because you don't think they appreciate me and righteousness and you think they're spoiled and selfish. And I might have been right. He didn't say I was wrong, but he said what I was thinking about them and allowing myself to be frustrated was creating a survival mechanism desire to just go to the mission field. That's an escape. We go to the mission field and say it's a calling. It could be a calling, but wonder if it's an escape. See, because in my situation, it wasn't a calling, but here's the paradox. I still love God's word. I honor God the best I understand. I love people the best I know. I'm just mad at a group. So I move on to do the Lord. But what's motivating me is frustration. The desire's being birthed out of frustration. It's the child. The desire to go to the mission field is the child of discouragement. Now I'm on the mission field and I'm tearing it up and people are getting saved and I trust God and somebody's getting healed here and there. And after a while I got a resume, but over my shoulder I'm looking and say, see, God can't do that with them bunch of stiff-necked religious spoiled. And the more God's moving here, the harder my heart's getting because I'm here. Now I'm really religious. And now God's moving and touching, and it's at the cost and expense of my heart, because the whole reason I'm there is the child of discouragement. But everybody sees God moving and say, well, God called. Boy, God sent him to that mission field.
Yeah. So sad.
You all right? Isn't that awesome, though? Everything has children. It's a law. It's a spiritual law. Seed time and harvest time. Each seed after its own kind. Kingdom of God. If a man scatters seed, what do you think the kingdom of darkness is? Scattering seed. Same principles. Same seed. There's wheat growing among the tares. Tares growing among the wheat. It's in your Bible. He said, don't try to pull it out. You might get some. And try to get the tares out. You might pull out some wheat. Just let it all grow together. It'll all get sorted out in the end. Isn't that the parable? Just let it grow together. It all gets sorted out in the end. Each after its own kind. You'll know them by their fruit. See, wheat and a tare, it looks the same. The leaves look the same. They dress the same. They look the same. Smile the same. Dance the same. Wave the same flag. But the fruit. The head of the wheat looks way different than the head of the tare. So once they come to fruitfulness, the two look different.
Yes, they do.
In this, the Father's well pleased that you bear much.
Fruit.
And you know them by their
fruit.
He said, don't try to pull and separate all that. Figure all that out. You'll hurt some, offend some. You might even touch some innocent wheat, you know, that doesn't understand why the tare, because they were growing so close to the tare. And they kind of like the tare close by, a little shade coming off the tare, kind of helping each other. And now you strip the tare out, and they're like, why'd you take them? I like them. And then they stumble along with. You ever see people get hurt along the way?
Yeah.
Yes. Can I talk really, really straight with you?
Yeah.
When, as soon as you're hurt, that's a sign you're thinking wrong right there.
Exactly.
As soon as you're hurt. Well, I'm hurt. Okay. Wonder if God just today looked at our lives and said, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. No, see, we paint a picture of God that's just supposed to always be there for us. He's just supposed to be who he is, the rock, steadfast, no turning, shifting a shadow, strong tower, my defense. And we just, so God's just going to always be there and be that way. And he's going to be there for me. That's like a security blanket God. Are you kidding me? He said, let us make man in our image. Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. As he is, so are we in this world. Yeah? Any man that say he abideth in him ought to walk even as he walked. We did not find a security blanket. We found the truth that makes us free. Are you following? Listen, when you just say, well, I'm hurt. Look, I understand people do things I wish they would never do. People do sometimes terrible things and make really bad choices. Right? Really bad. Detrimental stuff. Like, really bad. At young ages, people do things to young people that just try to mark them for the rest of their life. You see how this war is raging? So you got everybody being born with the potential of God's image. You get everybody being born into Adam, and the whole time you got to be born again. There's no life in you. There's death in you when you're born. You're formed in your mother's womb in iniquity. I could look at every road, go the whole way down. It's everybody's situation. You're all born with a destiny, a purpose, and a potential, but you're born into Adam. You got to get born again. So there's this war going on. And the strategy of hell is to keep you deceived, to keep you blind, to get your heart hurt, overwhelmed, hard, angry, frustrated, so that when you hear the good news, they ain't nothing good about it. Because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know where. And you don't know the God. And you don't know how. And you don't know what they did to me. And you don't know what I've been through. And how dare you? You ain't even been in my shoes. Man, I'm preaching good. Hell yeah. I can tell. Come on, we need this kind of stuff, because it's one thing, oh, he forgave me. Okay, now walk in him. Grow up into him in all things, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. You know, you got Leif here this weekend. You always got David and Tracy and leaders. You got Roy, you got Chris, you got people, right? We're to glean from, we're to feed, we're to grow. Why? Till we grow to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Grow up into him in all things. So we're all called to become something. Not just proclaim something. Yeah. We're not here just to proclaim forgiveness and salvation. We're to be formed and molded in Christ. Why? Because we're all clay. And we were all formed by something from the time we were born into Adam. Stuff was shaping you from a little child. You didn't even know who you were. Long back, way back before you can even remember, you didn't know who you were, but stuff was shaping you. People were already labeling you. People were speaking things over you. Oh, he's so hard-headed. You're 2 years old. He's just so hard-headed. And people didn't have the capacity, the patience, because they ain't filled vessels. They're weak vessels. They're dry cups, and we're thirsty. We're trying to drink out of dry cups most our life. So we ain't getting hydrated. That's why we get hurt so bad. Well, they weren't there for me. Well, they should have loved me. Well, that was my mama. Well, how can I have value if my own mom couldn't see my value? Well, your own mom couldn't see your value because she didn't have her own value. Now, why are you letting that roll over on yours psychologically, and now you're trash because she didn't treat you, because she treated you like trash? You're trash? No, she had a deficit. She couldn't see truth. She had nothing to give you. Why are you letting your life be dictated by something that happened when this amazing gospel saying, hey, there's a higher truth. Get your eyes off of that stuff. I'd have never hung on a cross and died for trash. I'd have never hung on a cross and died for forsaken. It's true. It's true. But see, from the time you were born, you had so many needs in your life because of this Adam thing. Because he sold out. He heeded the voice of the woman and not the voice of God. Let me just finish it while I'm in the middle. Let me just go to the end and then I'll fill up and catch to the end. Let me just go to the end. Here's the deal. We're all supposed to be in Christ. The tree's still there, the knowledge of good and evil. The serpent is still whispering. But follow him, the Lord. Obey him, the Lord. We have the word. Walk in a manner worthy of him. Live sanctified, set apart. Die to the old, live to the new. Put off, put on Christ. Yes. Come on, I got so much scripture on this thing. I got scripture on this thing. See, I knew the anointing increased. I knew it. I knew it. I thought, man, this message got clearer. How are you, sir? You too. Are you guys good?
Yeah.
You getting something? Yeah. Come on, this is so, so important. So this is how God created us to live. So if you don't take heed of these things, take earnest heed of these things, they'll slip away in the course of life. Attitudes, mindsets, just things that happen. What people say that they shouldn't say. The things you were hoping for don't come to pass, and all of a sudden you're letting that dictate your inspiration. Yeah. Come on, you're on the earth to shine. You got one reason to be on the earth, to live in his image and be found in him. Here's where we're at. Remember I said I'm going to go to the end? I'll go to the end. Here's where we're at today. Okay, so let's look at the Garden of Eden. I'm in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God's delight and paradise. Watch this. But I'm before the tree. I'm in the garden through Christ Jesus if I've never sinned. God doesn't see me as if I've eaten the tree. He sees me through Christ Jesus. The blood's speaking better things. He sees me as if I've never eaten. Now watch. The tree's still there. The knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the voice is still there that's trying to deceive. And did God really say? Well, you know, I call it analytical. People say, well, I'm very analytical. I wish you'd have stopped that yesterday. Analytical is not a gift. God never gave you the gift to think long enough to talk yourself out of truth. He didn't. He never gave you the gift for me to say as a preacher, God loves you, and then you assess it long enough to think of why he might not. And then say, well, I'm just very analytical. I'm a processor. No, you're listening to the serpent. Are you guys all right? Come on, I'm not cool with analytical. I understand rationale, human intellect, IQ. Bible seminaries are on thin ice with these things. They say don't let anybody infringe on your God-given right to reason and rationalize. You better be careful where the voice and rationalization is coming from. Just human wisdom, the way that seemeth right to a man? Come on, that's devastating. It's hard to locate because it seems right. But is it producing fruit? Is it producing life? You know them by their fruit. Is the way you're thinking producing life, stirring your heart, keeping you alive? Or is it mellowing you out and humbling you down to the place where you're like, well, I don't really know if I care anymore. Come on, it's going to sound strong, a little straight, but I'm going to be that way with y'all. Y'all been down here so many times, I can talk straight. But I always do anyway. Somebody probably said, you're going to anyway. No, listen, what point does a believer cross in his life where he says, you know what? Jesus, you did what you did for this reason. Who am I to give myself permission and the right to think anything else? I'm going after this thing. Till I see you clear and you fill me up and shine through me the way I see you. Amen. Like when do you get into this place where you say, I don't even have permission to be here if it ain't producing life. I don't care how wrong what they did was. If it ain't producing Christ in me, if I'm not finding Christ through it, I have no permission to just be broken. No permission to just be devastated. No permission to say, can you just pray for me? Come on. Can I be real? Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somewhere along the way, offenses must come. The opportunity to be offended is going to come to everybody's doorstep. And you're going to stereotype it and analytically process it. And you're going to come up with four justifications why you ain't alive and shining and looking like Jesus. I'm challenging that today. You don't blame it on somebody else. You don't say, well, you don't know what they put me through. What about what they put Jesus through and what he went through? When does what he went through ever have a voice? When does that speak louder than what I've been through? When does what he's been through supersede what I've been through? When does his story supersede my story? When does his story become my story? The Christ in you is the hope of glory. Not how it happened to you 10 years ago. See, remember, each seed after its own kind. Everything's trying to reproduce itself. Everything. So watch this. From the time you were born, from the time as far back as you can remember, you were being molded and dictated and shaped by the way life was unfolding. At a very young age, you're nothing more than how you responded to how it all happened. And then we say, well, there are this personality, well, there are this, well, there... See, you get laughed at a young age. You become either hurt, broken, introverted, and low esteemed, or hard and a fighter. But no matter how you respond, neither one's the truth. It's a product of a reaction to your circumstances apart from truth. Because you didn't have truth. You didn't know how to respond. Look, everybody in this room, when you were born with no identity. Do you understand that? Adam lost the identity of humanity. Adam lost the reason God made man where Adam was concerned. He was not expressing the truth. God didn't change. Love never failed. The Lamb was already crucified and slain before the foundation of the world. He was prophesied in Genesis 3. Her seed's coming, going to crush your head. But what did he say to the serpent? I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. What he's saying is the enemy has seed. He is not impressed with you coming to church. He's not impressed with you reading your Bible. He's impressed when you take on Christ, when you're in fellowship with God, when you walk in love, when you shine as a light, when you respond like he responds, when you love like he loves. Don't mess with me. Don't start doing that. You're going to freak me out. No. Are you guys all right? Come on. This is so important. Look, every time You've heard me say this down here before, right? When you squeeze, you've heard me say this 100 times. When you squeeze an orange, you expect
orange juice.
It would be weird if it was some other juice. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get anything but Christ? That should be weird. But wonder if the enemy... Stop. So watch this. So wonder if the enemy has learned. Wonder if the enemy's learned. Okay, come to church. Smile looks great. Head looks better. Y'all need to stop. You need to stop. So watch this. No, y'all need to stop. I'm trying to make a point here. Okay, so watch this. The enemy, he ain't impressed. He ain't impressed that he's here. He ain't impressed with the smile and the shiny glory on the head thing. He's impressed when he gets thrown in a situation and responds like Christ. So here's what the enemy's learned. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you get apple juice, that would be weird. He's learned that if he squeezes the average church attending Christian, not because they're evil, because they don't understand or guard their heart. Not usually because they're hypocrites, they get caught off guard because they ain't stewarding their perspectives. And they're just caught in trying to get through life and somehow use God to help them. That is never Christianity. Amen. Christianity is becoming who He created you to be. Putting off the old and putting on the new. So here's what Satan says. He says, okay, great. He says he's here. He's at Redemption House. Yeah, Life Center. Okay, yeah. Smile looks great. Woohoo. I'll just squeeze him and find out what he understands, what he's really made of, and what he really believes.
Yes.
Who's ever, when they were stepping out, got squeezed? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Who, when you got really encouraged in your heart and you felt like you got the answer for right where you're at, and then all hell broke loose? Whoever told a friend what they really need to be doing right now, and then the same thing came and slammed you? Anybody relate to this stuff? He said, your seed, there's going to be enmity between your seed and her capital seed. Talk about Jesus. There's going to be enmity. So we're all created to be in Christ Jesus. We're all created to shine and reveal the image of God. The Bible says, what is man? What is up with man? What is the big deal about man? What is man that you're so mindful of him? That you would visit him? That you would give him dominion over the works of your hand? So special about this man, your crowning creation and glory. It's because of why we're here. And why we're here never got lost through sin. Oh, we got lost through sin. But why we're here didn't get lost through sin. And if you and I, oh, this is going to sound a little tough. If you and I don't get this, we'll think we're just supposed to come to Jesus, where Jesus is, and sing songs and worship him and be thankful for him and miss the whole part. All of a sudden, we're trying to do church instead of be her. Are you all with me? We're not here to do better church. We're here to live Christ.
Yes.
Jesus said, watch what Jesus said. He said, you're the light of the world. Well, I thought Jesus is the light of the world. How come he's saying we're the light of the world? Because he went to sit with the Father. And he sent another, allos in the Greek, just like him. He sent another helper to the earth, Holy Spirit. He'll be with as many. People say, I wish I lived in the day of Jesus. You live in the day of Jesus? Christ in you. Not Christ preaching in your street. Christ in you.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to preach. I got a microphone. So Satan comes to steal, kill, destroy. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Actually, when you look up in John 10:10, he doesn't mention the devil directly. He's talking about false teaching, wrong believing, not thinking clear. Wrong teaching is a thief. Well, we understand the root of all wrong teaching is certainly darkness and demonic. But he's talking about wrong teaching, false teaching. And he said the one motive of false teaching is stealing, killing, and destroying. So you just growing up with a mindset not challenging it in Christ. Growing up with an attitude and not challenging it. After you get saved, not looking at the way you tick and the why behind your life and what motivates you and makes you feel and think the way you do. You can't just feel sorry for yourself when you become a Christian. Look, I can be sorry for what happened to you. I can be sorry for what so-and-so put you through. But you can't afford to sit down and just feel sorry for yourself. You got to believe there's a bigger answer in Christ than feeling sorry for yourself about somebody said and did. What somebody said and did. All of a sudden, it's your story, and you don't know what I've been through. And if you've been, and all of a sudden, you've been through more hell than anybody, and it ain't even true. Somebody's been through more hell than you. And it's just, watch how paradox this is. I could start right here. Well, I'll start here. And we go right here, and go the whole way through, and we could all tell our hell story. And there'd be some bad ones in this room. There'd be some that seem kind of, wow, I wish I was them. Wow, that don't sound that bad. And then there'd be some that'd be like, dear Jesus, I thought I had it. No, seriously, like, let me get raw with you. Like, man, when Uncle So-and-so did that to me, I thought, but whoo, good night. You with me? Now watch. We go around the room and we make that all our story and we make that relevant and make that matter. Here's how you can see how deceived it is. Because so many people find in their identity through their selves, their life, and their story. I asked the Lord, why do so many people hold on to their past like tight? He said it's the only place they ever found a sense of identity, whether good or bad. And they're saying, this is me. This is me. And Jesus is going, no, no, this is you. Hey, this is you. This is you, right here. No, it's true. It's true. So let me play this out. Sit down. Sit down. Let me play this out. Because it's going to get better. Huh?
You're preaching.
What's that?
You're preaching now.
Oh. So we go down the room. We go down the room, down the aisles. Guess what happens at the end? Guess when we get way back to the back corner, the little sound buddy that hooked me up. Thank you. We get back there and we get to him and he's the last one to go. What are we going to accomplish by the end of the whole thing? We're going to realize in our heart who had it worse and who's been through the most hell. But now watch. Nothing we can do about that. Where are we going to go from there? Now you ain't even going to touch that because you can't relate to that. They ain't even going to let you touch that because you ain't been where I've been.
Yeah. We're stuck.
Exactly. So we're going to go and make it all about all the hell we all been through. And we're going to locate who's been through the most hell. We're going to be happy our story ain't as bad as I thought. Man, they've been through it. And then we're going to sing It's All About Heaven. Oh. And then I'm confused, and confusion isn't the Lord, so it can't be good. You see the paradox? No, you're going to be rich. You're going to be... So... Are you guys all right? So let's get back to this point. There's this thing working on the earth. So when the devil comes to squeeze, guess what he believes? He doesn't believe nobody. You can read the book of Job. He doesn't believe nobody loves God. He believes we need God. There's a difference between loving God and needing God. Huge difference. Most people live in the need of God realm. And that's why they're frustrated. That's why they shut down, quit praying, because he ain't answered anyway.
Yeah.
I pray for protection and it still happened. And all of a sudden he's a genie in a bottle. He ain't a father. All of a sudden you're trying to get something from him. You ain't in covenant. It ain't all that is mine is yours. I'm telling you, that's what he believes. He believes it about you, man. He doesn't believe you love God. He believes you need God. And he's going to prove it, and he's going to try to squeeze you. Watch. He's going to squeeze you, but every time he squeezes him, he's sure he can break him. But he runs this amazing risk of making him.
Yeah.
Watch. Because the whole time, where adversity is concerned, you got to get this today. If you got one thing I said, if you think one thing I said was worth all you guys freaking out like this, then you better get this one thing, because it's going to be better.
Uh-oh. Better get out the big bills.
Oh, no, I forgot. I just forgot what I was even going to say. Man, I totally forgot it now. So watch this. He believes he can break you, but he runs the risk of making you. When you understand Christ and born again, watch. Talking about adversity, there ain't one person in this room with a flat-out problem. Everybody in this room has answer.
Come on.
Yeah.
And I don't think we live that place. I think we think that's hype.
Nope.
I'm not a man loaded down with 20 problems that I need God to intervene on and change. I have one amazing answer that I live from, and it causes me to see those 20 things different. And all of a sudden, I realize I don't even need prayer because I have truth. And all of a sudden, in the circumstance, I realize I don't even change and get ordered. All of a sudden, you don't even know the 20 things because you don't see the 20 things. Watch. You see the one thing. Yeah. You get it? Now, that ain't the Christianity I've been around. I'm not putting nobody down. I've been saved 26 years. That's not a long, long time, but it's long enough to see some things. Most people wear what they're going through.
That's right.
Their identity wraps around their circumstances. Their confession and language is equal to their story.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And we always think we need prayer. And I think we need truth.
Yeah.
I don't think we're loaded down with 10 different troubles. I think we have one amazing answer, and it's Christ in you. The hope of glory.
Yes. Yes.
You want to talk about being done wrong? Let's talk about Jesus. Squeaky clean, perfect and pure. There's no way to even label it. It's as clean can be, as pure can be. There's no way to even, I know it can sound like I'm being lighthearted. There's just no way to even explain it. As pure can be. And done as wrong as you could be done wrong.
Sure.
And never said a word. Like a sheep without a word to the slaughter. And when he did speak, he said stuff like this. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. What's he saying? They don't have a clue. They ain't sitting here in the light with me. Watch. You see how you respond when you're in the light? Okay, watch. I just got this from the Holy Ghost. I just got it. Oh my goodness. Watch this. You see how you respond when you are the light? Ye are the... You see what he's talking about? He's talking about not ever letting life speak louder than truth. Never letting your circumstances decide who you are or how you are. Never let the way it's going have a thing to do with how you're doing. You ask the average Christian how they're doing, they'll tell you their two biggest crises and say, keep me in prayer. Which means we identify ourselves by ourselves. And we're living for better circumstances, not a greater manifestation of Christ. And then we think the manifestation of Christ is just being touched by the Spirit instead of being transformed from the inside. Man. I just thought I might as well get free. I can't believe I did that. Freedom. No, you guys are different. You need to sit down. Sit down. I don't. Is it that late already? I gotta quit. No. I'm stopping. Yeah, you're gonna be preaching. He's gonna be preaching tonight. It's gonna be awesome, and I'll be preaching tomorrow sometime, and Sunday twice. So I can't get all preached out. I can't give up everything I got in one service. It was a joke, dear. We're going to give everything I got in a weekend, I promise. But this is a topic that I heard during worship to talk about this. That there's a seed time. There's a harvest. Each after its own kind. You know them by their fruit. There's this war. It's this demonic demon war against the kingdom of God. Get this. You've been with me this whole time. Don't disconnect now. Watch. You can't take adversity personal. It's a demonic war against the kingdom of God. You're created for the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom. Don't look here. Don't look there. For the kingdom is with in you. There is a war against the kingdom of God. You cannot take adversity and circumstances personal. You have to think for the kingdom. You have to look through the king. If you take adversity personal, you're going to turn inward, make it all about you while you're singing it's all about him, and make a vital mistake. And you're going to be deceived. And once Satan gets an inch, he's going to try to run you over with a mile. You following? So it's time to die to live. Die to everything we've ever been, everything we thought we've ever been, motives, perspectives, reason for being. See, that's the stuff I wish we'd just think about all the time. The why behind your life. When you wake up in the morning, is it just another day? Are you tricked into just trying to get by? Are you just hoping it goes better than yesterday? Is your prayer life wrapped around need and circumstance? Are you in communion and fellowship with God? Isn't it all about being empowered to look through him and to walk in truth no matter what? Come hell or high water, to live in the Christ. So where do you live from? What's the why behind your life? What's your reason for being? Are you still trying to find your identity through others, through who you associate with? Or have you found your identity through him? So that your relationships are healthy, not needy. So you ain't hurt. So you ain't left down, brokenhearted. Well, I went there. They weren't that loving. I ain't never going back. Bunch of hypocrites. Come on. Three churches in. Now everybody's hypocrites. Now you hate the body of Christ. And that's why you don't go to church. You're meeting in a basement with four hurting people. Happens all the time. And you're calling it a move of God.
And I'm going to the mission field.
Yeah. And I'm going to the mission field. Do you know how many works have started because of pain, hurt, frustration, leadership's controlling, dead in my city, no move of the spirit, all the pastors are religious, and there's animosity in the heart before the work even starts. So you don't know how to honor, you don't know how to pray from the right place, you got a complaining heart, and even when you pray, it's complaining. It's self-righteous. All of a sudden, you're the only one that understands, and the whole rest of the city is blind. That stuff should concern you if you think that way. And if the root's not good, how's the fruit going to be good? So now another work starts, and in time, it just looks like every other work that was, because it started from a place that wasn't even good. Why? Because everything has children. So everything... Let's go back to this and I'll close. Everything is out to determine your life. We're clay. Don't ever forget that. You're clay. You're not in control. You're clay. Something is influencing your life. It's designed that way. Make sure it's the great potter. Come on. Something's shaping you. Something has you on the wheel. Watch. You could be mad at somebody for 10 years and not even talk to them and cut them off. And 10 years after, you hear their name and that thing rises and you feel that thing and you remember and it's still there. The whole time you've been shaped by the thing you think you cut off 10 years ago. Why? Because you're clay. You haven't been in charge. You're not in control. That thing has a serious voice in your life and it's been shaping you for 10 years even though you never saw the person's face. Are you with me?
Yes.
10 years. Why? Because you're clay. Everybody in this room's clay. I'm clay. There ain't nobody in control. You say, well, it's my life. It was never created to be your life. It's always designed to be His life in you. There's no one in control of their life. Something is deciding the why behind your life. There's an influence that you're allowing to dominate. Whether it's life, whether it's death, whether it's Him or something else. Because we're all clay. So how do you respond to something like this? Make sure the things that are motivating you today are healthy and from the Lord. Make sure you're not letting anything matter more than what matters most. You say, what matters most? That you live your life in Christ. That you find your identity through Him. That your heart is full of hope. Why? Because He's in you and His love will never fail. And you actually have purpose today. Even if you've been deceived right up to this moment, you can put on purpose.
Yeah.
Repentance can look like this. Duh. That's repentance. It's not, oh man, I've been wasting so much time. I've been just dragging to the altar. Ooh, no, repentance can be, duh. What was, yeah. That's repentance. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. So you make the shift in your heart right now. See, this stuff is an altar call stuff. The altar is your heart before God. Nobody knows you like you. Nobody knows you like you. You're the one that knows what makes you tick when you hear a fellow talking like I'm talking. You know where you've been living. You know what you've been allowing to dominate and decide who you are and how you are. You know. And when you hear truth, you got to give yourself to it. It's how you learn to guard your heart. Be the steward of your own life in God. Trust it to Him. Yeah? Are you all good with that?
Yes.
Can I pray something over you guys?
Yes.
Father, I just thank you for the grace on this meeting. I just thank you for revelation, piercing our hearts. I ask that you empower every person in this room. I pray that no one could just walk away from this quickly. Lord God, that if we live in any other arena, any other room, that Lord God, you yourself would illuminate us and bring us back into that place of truth. Would you protect every heart here, every person that has listened, every person that's been in this room? Would you give them the ability to see these things in the moment and make just decisions? Don't let anyone be brokenhearted in this room, God. Let this message come to our rescue. Let it empower us and let us get really, really, really clear on why we're here and why you're in us. Man, if everything is seed time, harvest time, and everything's looking to reproduce. I want to live in righteousness. I want to walk in the light. And I want to manifest you. God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Yeah. So let me just, this little thought, just to tie up. Remember how I said Adam, because he heeded the voice of his wife? Remember? She took on the voice of the, and then she relayed that, and then he, right? So what happened when God sent his son, a root out of dry ground, truth sprung out of the earth. He came to his own, and his own knew him not. Humanity was so perverted that when the one that they were created through came, the one that they were created through, when he came, they knew him not. They were so removed from what they were created to be. So what did God do? He sent Jesus and restored the picture of truth and said, okay, I'm going to model the life that you were created for. You were made in the image of God. And when you see me, you see that image. Follow me. He didn't say, sing to me. He didn't say, pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me.
So God sent his son to model the life we were created for, to call us out of darkness into light, to translate us in to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Yeah? So he modeled that life and gave us a pattern to follow. So if the way you're thinking, you can't see it in the life of Jesus, challenge what you're thinking. Things in your life, if you can't see it in Jesus' life, why is it okay in yours? You see? This is what it means to follow him. He said, you have one teacher. Don't call anyone on earth your teacher. You have one. He didn't say one of two. You have one teacher, one true teacher, and he's the Christ. Yes. Yeah? Yes. So if I didn't learn it through him, I didn't learn it at all. You see what's happening in our lives every day? This war is going on. Make sure you walk in the light as he's in the light. Amen.